We turn to Psalm 16 and to verses 2 and 3. This is a one-off sermon. We're in the middle of studies on Revelation, but we wouldn't like our absent brethren to miss one of that series. So here is a one-off. And it's Psalm 16, verses 2 and 3. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. We've just sung the last verse, love is the golden chain that binds the happy souls above. Now that word miktam, which is there at the beginning of Psalm 16, means golden. It is a heading also to Psalms 56, 57, 58, 59, 60. Psalm 16 begins with David praising the Lord for his preservation. And all the Psalms 56 to 60 are prominently about preservation. And preservation of our lives, is particularly when they are threatened, is a most wonderful thing. It's perhaps one of the most golden things we appreciate about God. Hence the word golden. But there's another reason. This psalm is about Christ. And there is nothing more golden than the perfect man in his own body, also the perfect God, fully God, fully man, God with us, Emmanuel. And that is golden. Golden in our experience, the most precious, wonderful thing that's ever happened to us, that the Lord Jesus should be our Saviour, preserve us till the day we're saved, and preserve us from then onwards. First, I want to show you that the Lord Jesus is the subject of this psalm. If you will turn with me, without losing the place in the psalm, to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, where this psalm is quoted. We begin at verse 25 of Acts 2. The first quotation is from Psalm 18, but the quotation that follows is from this psalm. Peter is preaching at Pentecost. David speaketh concerning Christ. I foresaw the Lord always before me, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad. Moreover also, my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. That's the quotation. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life, thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Then Peter replies the psalm. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. So this psalm which was quoted, David being a prophet foresaw that it was about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the resurrection of Christ primary, that his soul was not left in hell, that this psalm is about. And also in Acts 13. In Acts 13. And we read, if I've got it right, verses 35 and 37. He's in the middle of preaching, but we're breaking into the middle of Paul's sermon. Verse 35. Wherefore, he saith also in another psalm, which is our Psalm 16, thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again, that's the Lord Jesus, saw not corruption. So this psalm, as the last few verses of the psalm indicate, is about the Lord Jesus Christ. But David, being a prophet and being filled by the Holy Spirit used David's own experiences to write this psalm. He uses the language of all the different prophets in the Bible, and in order to put the Bible together, he doesn't remove their personal characteristics. So the Holy Spirit moved David to speak of Christ, but out of his own experience. So this psalm is also about David. But it's about David as a believer. And we may say that it's about David in Christ. The things that are true of Christ in this psalm are true of David because he is in Christ. But it's true of all believers. And the things that are true of Christ are true of every believer. And therefore, we may look at this psalm and apply it to ourselves. No, this does apply to ourselves, as well as it applied to David, and as well it applies supremely to Christ. So I want first to go quickly through the psalm, showing how it applies to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I want to take verses 2 and 3 and show how it applies to believers, as to David, in Christ. If this psalm applies to the Lord Jesus Christ, it applies to him as man. It applies to him as mediator, the one who, while he was here on earth, could not be everywhere as God is, though he was fully God. The Father was still everywhere. The Holy Spirit was everywhere, but he was in a body. But he was still God. And therefore, because he was in a human body, though it was perfect, he still prayed to the Father. And therefore he found it necessary to pray that he should be preserved, to declare to his Father that though he was in the flesh, he put his trust in him. And we come to our verse 2 and 3. The Lord Jesus would say, "O my soul." In other words, he's speaking with himself, speaking his own thoughts and then declaring them to God. You understand? "O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. While I'm here, though I'm equal with the Father, thou art my Lord. I serve thee. Thou art my Lord. And while I'm here on earth," says Christ, "I cannot impart to thee any goodness of my own. But to the saints that are in the earth, them I do impart my goodness. I'm dying for thy people. I'm dying to bear the wrath of thee, my Father, on those people. I'm dying to save them that believe. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints." In Proverbs, the Lord Jesus declares how from early days he loved the saints of God. And it's in Proverbs chapter 8. And it's a wonderful verse. Find chapter 8. You're always safe looking at the Bible with me, because I'm the slowest of all. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ in Proverbs 8, verse 30. Again, the whole paragraph is worth reading. "But when the world was created," verse 30, "then I was by him," by the Father, "as one brought up with him. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him." But now, "rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth. And my delights were with the sons of men." So, all things were made for Christ, for his pleasure. They are and were created. And he loves his people. His delights were with the sons of men. And he now reiterates that his goodness in the merits of Calvary, in saving his people, extend to the saints, that's those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, not Roman Catholic saints or any other saints. I don't know whether you've noticed, but one of the decisions taken by the TBS, if you read a TBS Bible, at the head of every page in the Gospels, it doesn't say St. Matthew, St. Mark, St. Luke, St. John. It says Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, because we don't believe that saints, well, we do believe they were saints, but the word saint applies to every believer. It means it's a person sanctified by the Holy Spirit to believe in the Father. And so therefore, the Lord, his goodness extendeth to the saints and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Spurgeon goes to town on the word excellent. He takes the whole expressions that we use about nobility to task. His excellence, star and garter man, all these sort of things. But the saints are the excellent ones, he says. The believers in Christ are the true nobility. Well, Christ has made his people to be saved, to be washed, justified, sanctified. And then the psalm goes on, and I go quickly because I'm going to come back to verses 2 or 3, that those who worship another god, even if they imitate the true religion by offering blood to their idols, he'll just do away with them. They've got an imitation religion, but it's not the real one. Their sorrows shall be multiplied, that hasten after another god, their drink offerings of blood will I not offer. But the Lord, the Saviour says that, we may say it, is the portion of mine inheritance. You remember that it was said of the tribe of Levi that they had no land, their portion was God. They owned no land, they were supported, but their portion was God. And this is what he's saying here. The Lord, says the Saviour, is my portion. He's the portion of my inheritance. When I'm in heaven, it'll be the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit all in all. And then thou maintainest my lot. Again, we can apply it to ourselves. Use the word allotment, a bit carved out. Our lot is the part apportioned to us. And the Lord keeps those who make the Lord his portion. And then just to explain that word, lines, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. The hedges round my property. No, the hedges round my life. My life. The lines, the hedges, my lines, my garden, my heart, my life, they've fallen unto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I've inherited these things, as has every believer. But I won't go on through that. I'll now go back to verse 2 and 3 and say we think now of ourselves in Christ or of David in Christ. He writes it for us by the Spirit. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. First of all, the believer doesn't so much talk to himself as talks from the depth of his or her heart to the Father. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. In Psalm 110 verse 1, David says, the Lord said unto my Lord. The Lord was in capitals, but his Lord was not. Lord in capitals is the Father. The Lord not in capitals is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have said unto the Heavenly Father, that because of Christ, he is our Lord. No man comes to the Father but by Christ. So my soul says to the Father in earnest prayer, thou hast saved me by Christ. I love thee, I serve thee. Thou art my Lord. In other words, he is the portion of our inheritance. It is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit that we'll see in glory. He maintains this lot of ours. The Lord is the portion of our inheritance. The lines, the position in which we are fallen unto me in pleasant places, because this overrules it all, that we have a place in life that Christ has provided for us. We have a goodly heritage. We shall go to glory. Thou art my Lord. is what our heart says. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee. The Lord Jesus, taking up on the words, you remember, of the young ruler, came to him, said, why callest thou me good? Good master, he said. He was not wrong to do that, but he just did it out of custom. People do say, don't they, in taking the Lord's name in vain, good Lord. But they should think about good, shouldn't they, as well as Lord. Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But there were two men in the Bible called good in the New Testament. One was Barnabas, and the other was the man who went to Pilate to beg the body of the Lord Jesus. It is permissible, but always any man's goodness that is true, is not natural, but comes from the Lord Jesus Christ through him. So our goodness does not extend to God. We can't give God anything. I've often used the illustration here, but it does stick in the memory, doesn't it? That he who's got a youngster who's 5, 6, 7, wants to give a present to mummy or daddy for birthday. So if it's mummy's birthday, the child talks to daddy and vice versa. And she says, I want to buy this present with my money, my pocket money. Has not much, but wants to buy it. And that's nice. Because where did the money come from? Whose money was it in the first place? But although it was the parents' money, the parents loved to see the thought in the heart of the child. Now, our goodness cannot add anything to God. It's his. We have it from him. But if we exercise goodness, we may do so, but not to God, but to his people on earth. My goodness extendeth not to thee. I can't give anything to God except praise and worship. But I can minister good things to the saints that are in the earth. Now the saints, as I've said, are the Lord's people, the ones who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the meaning of the word is that they are sanctified by the Spirit. The Lord, believing the gospel, has purified their hearts, ennobled their beings, and they're all around us. Now, the saints, as we see even with us few here, we're a mixed bunch, aren't we? We're a mixed lot. Our ages are different. Some of us can remember periods that if we talk about them as if they were yesterday, there were those who look at us and say, wow, they're dinosaurs. And there are those who are younger. There are those who had a good education. Maybe there are those who have not had such a good education. And so it is throughout the whole wide world. There are Christians, those who believed in Christ, come from every nation and people and tongue. They come from every walk of life. It gives the Father honour to have raised up to belief people of all walks of life, of all times of history. But if the Lord has saved a brother or a sister, the Lord has ennobled them. And if the Lord has ennobled them, we surely should serve them. we surely should love them. It grieves me that there's so much hurt in local churches. And I think everybody who's here at this church has come out of situations where there's been hurt. But the aim is that we should love one another. You remember the Lord Jesus, about the time of the first communion service, washed the disciples' feet. And he said, if your master has done this, then you should act likewise. Meaning that if the service and love of the Lord Jesus Christ is ministered to the lowest and most insignificant of believers, that is what we should do. So our goodness should extend. It should reach out to. And it should reach out to every believer. And it should reach out to every believer. We begin at home in the sense that every believer in our own church. Now, we will not agree on every single point of procedure. We will not agree on every single detail, point of doctrine. I have noticed that in churches, most disagreements are not about doctrine, but about methodology. Should we do it this way? Should we not do it this way? Should we have a blue wall or a white wall? Silly things, you know, methodology, the way we'll do things. But we as believers have this great impetus. The Lord has loved us. The Lord has saved us. The Lord has tarried to deal with us. He's done that for every single other one. So our relationship with them is to encourage them, to help them, to see brethren in them, to see Christ in them. My goodness extendeth to the saints. Of course, in another sense, goodness is extended when we exercise it. If we have any love of Christ in us, when we serve somebody, it's extended. When we share it, it's extended. At that terrible day of the last judgment, the Lord Jesus told this parable about those who were his, that wasn't the way they were saved, but how they showed it was that they saw one believer and helped them. And the way the unbelievers showed that they were unbelievers is that when they saw a Christian in need, they didn't help them. It's not the whole story of salvation, because there are exceptions. People might help Christians because they're family or because they're neighbours. But the Lord would have his people minister to one another. The Lord says, inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you did it unto me. So it extends our goodness. I laughed to myself when I was thinking of this and thought, if you were a sports person, or in other ways as well, you were pushing yourself in order to make yourself more excellent. You were pushing yourself. And the expression that would be used is that we're out of our comfort zone. Ever thought of it like that? It may be that there are people in the church who to deal with lovingly and kindly and thoughtfully puts us out of our comfort zone, but we've still got to do it. It extends us. And it extends our new nature. Extends the goodness that Christ has given us. Thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth. Well, it means, of course, that while we're here on earth, we can't make our first opportunity of extending our love when we're in heaven to the other saints, it needs to be done here. It's the saints while they're in earth. It's because they're experiencing the same hardships, the same difficulties, the same struggles, the same temptations as we are. And we comfort one another, we help one another, we encourage one another. Saints that are in the earth, now is the time to extend our capacity to love through the Spirit of God. But it would be what Jesus did when he died for us. It would be how David felt, who loved being preserved by the Lord. Psalms 56, 7, 8, 9, 10, all about preservation. And here he's put preservation and his love of the Lord Jesus as one. Together he preserves them. So it's golden. This is golden things. The Lord God is love. And if we don't forgive one another, then Matthew 18 tells us that the Lord says that we will not be forgiven ourselves. So does the Lord's Prayer say that? So our goodness in Christ extends to the saints. It can add to them. It can bring the best out of us. It can be a help. But the saints are excellent. In other words, we must see the saints as the Lord Jesus Christ and as the Father by the Spirit sees them. Now, God chose all his people in eternity before they'd done anything good or bad, purely of his own will to save some who would never have been saved. Because nobody on earth would ever have been saved. He could have left the whole of mankind just to go. But he didn't. He chose some. He's not unfair, but he's generous. And he has given them the Saviour, his only begotten Son, to make atonement for them. And it's the Holy Spirit's ministry to point us, having convicted us of sin, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Father has given this much time and energy, if I may so speak, to each individual Christian, we may describe them as excellent, not in ourselves, but what the Father has made them. Sometimes we may say to the Lord, mightn't we, Lord, I'm nothing, I really mean it, but thou hast made me a king. Thou hast made me a priest. We are kings and priests unto our God. And there is a time when we must think little of ourselves, that we're dust. But there are times when we need to recall that we are kings and priests unto our God. We are excellent from God's choosing, from God's way of looking at things, from the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Our goodness extends to the saints, but it helps us to think of our own excellence and then by transfer to understand that it belongs to every other one. Our goodness extends to the saints that are in the earth and to the excellent, not different. The saints in the earth are not different from the excellent. The "and" there doesn't mean additionally. It means even, really. But to the saints that are in the earth, even to the excellent, even the humblest, but they're excellent. If it be the greatest sin of all, not to be wicked morally, but to deny the Father because he is the eternal God, so it is the most wonderful thing of all to minister to those whom he has chosen, to those whom he has made excellent. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the excellent, the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. It is said of Jesus, "Thou art my portion, saith my soul." But of God it is said, "My portion is my people." Amazing, isn't it? God's portion is not the heavens, though he made them. God's portion is not the earth, though he made them. God's portion is not every creature, though they all belong to him. God's portion is his people. It's in his people that he delights, even as we saw in Proverbs, that Christ delights in the habitable part of the earth, because there he finds believers. If the Lord delights in me, which humanly speaking is difficult to think of, but spiritually I believe, if anybody doesn't delight in me, any believer, they're not acting as Christ is acting. Well, I'm not bothered about me, but another person, you see. If the Lord delights in a brother or a sister, and we don't, who's at fault? Has something gone wrong? Has there been a break of communication? But our goodness extends to the saints, to the excellent, in whom is all my delight, as well as all God's delight. Because it means we can have fellowship together. Because it means we can talk and enjoy one another's company. And of course it means we can share spreading the gospel together. But essentially it means that there is a unity of delight, a golden band, a golden chain. The most precious thing of all is the Saviour's such a delight in us, because the Father delighted in us, that he gave himself for us, died for us. And that delight, which we've enjoyed, we may communicate to the other believers. You can see that it's easier to belong to a little church than a big church. Fancy thinking of having a relationship with all the others in a big church. On the other hand, 5,000 were saved on the day of Pentecost. And we're not going to know, we will in glory, I think, we're not going to know all the members of the church in big churches. But those who are our neighbours, in the sense they're the ones we sit near, the ones we have more to do in running young people's work or whatever it is we do, the ones we know from the midweek service, the ones we join together in prayer, we can know some of them. And to them, we must show that they are excellent as we are excellent, and we delight in them as the Father delights in them. And that leads me just to add, if you want to make someone feel out of it, what do? We learned this at school, I think. Well, five of you play together, but you make a point of not inviting the other one. You're all friends and you get greater friends and you make it obvious how friendly you are, but leave one out, and that leaving is deliberate. We mustn't fall into that trap. It is a natural trap, but we are not to fall into it. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness, isn't it wonderful that he's given us goodness? My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Amen. May it be so.